Hello and welcome to a brand new series of Rethink Daily. It's a new season, so I thought we'd start somewhere iconic. We're at Wimbledon today and will be for the rest of the week. If anything interesting happens, I'll let you know, but for the moment, it's just tennis. I should explain that the reason we're back is because of you. We've had almost 10,000 downloads of the first season. That seems like a success to us, so over the next 7 weeks, you can listen to all new episodes as you drift to sleep, in bed, on the beach, or at the wheel. Coming up, there's new drama with Series 2 of Numbers, very excited about that. Brand new documentaries in a strand called Stories You Might Have Missed. More pondering from Clive Dennis as he sorts out the problem of Germany, if there is one. And the return of our most popular show.
Rethink Daily.
So it's a warm welcome back to Rethink Daily for Sharp Things. New stories from UK writers picked for your delectation by new writing blog site Window. Two stories to kick us off. In a moment we'll have Egged On by Tanya Hirschman. But before that, The Ways of the Country by Sion Scott Wilson. Enjoy.
Available through iTunes, MySpace and direct from rethinkdaily.co.uk.
The Ways of the Country by Sion Scott Wilson. It wasn't a hovel exactly, but could scarcely be described as a house. Under a canopy of brooding elms, the dilapidated timber structure leaned crazily to the side, propped up by one of the thicker trunks. Exactly where you'd expect someone like Barney to live. Paul Trout pulled up at the end of the narrow, rutted track and emerged from his car. He could see Barney waiting in the shack doorway, alerted by the alien sound of an engine. The old man squinted into the sun, his raddled, weather-beaten face creasing like a sheet of brown paper. Paul waved. "Shit," he muttered, correctly identifying the cake of greenish-yellow sludge, now engulfing his ox-blood loafer. At the threshold, Barney gave him a cursory nod and ushered him inside. It took a while for Paul's urban eyes to adjust to the shadows and wood smoke. He blundered across the floor, tripping on the uneven planks before settling himself safely at the rough oak slab of a table. Barney sat at the other end and fussed with a bit of twine and a sprig of something or other. Paul waited. In the far corner of the room was a mound of tiny skulls, artfully arranged like a collection of porcelain. Voles or moles or something. Paul shuddered. He hated having to do this. But what choice did he have? When science failed, what else was there but to fall back on the old ways? Well, Paul knew that Barney hated to be rushed, but he was running late today. Barney ignored him and continued to fiddle with the sprig. Finally he looked up. "Oh, you keep him, Mr. Paul." "Fine, Barney, fine." They always had to go through this painful ritual before getting down to business. Annoying, but the piper must be paid. "You don't look fine, if you don't mind me saying, Mr. Paul." Barney appraised him shrewdly. Those piercing green eyes seemed out of place in such a benign face. Predator's eyes. "You're out of sorts. Your essential humours is out of balance again. Too much of the black and green, I should say. Colour and bile. Always colour and bile." Paul tapped the table irritably. "I didn't come here for a medical. I'm fine, really." "City live in," Barney sniffed with distaste. "Yes, thanks for pointing that out. Can we get on with it?" Barney inserted one or two small bones into the sprig, tied it off with a complicated knot, then wrapped it tightly in a ragged strip of velvet black moleskin. "Will it work? Have I failed you yet, Mr. Paul? Don't you need to, you know, go and look at the sky or something?" Barney moulded the little bundle in strong brown fingers. "Does the corncrake tell the red-legged oyster catcher how to build his own nest?" "How the hell should I know?" Paul was becoming impatient. Barney grinned without mirth. "The rooster crows loudest at the sun, but can it lay the eggs, Mr. Paul?" Paul shrugged. He couldn't give a toss who laid the eggs. Barney brought a bowl of milky brown fluid to the table, tossed in the bundle and began to mutter over it. "Now give it a stir, Mr. Paul." Paul dipped an unwilling finger into the noxious mixture. "Widdershins, if you please. Always Widdershins." Paul stirred anti-clockwise, then quickly withdrew his finger before wiping it carefully on his handkerchief. He noticed that the bundle was floating now and had begun to unravel. Barney studied it intently for what seemed like an age. Finally, he lifted his head from the bowl and took a deep breath. "The news is not good, Mr. Paul. Not good at all. Storm clouds gather." Paul Trout sprinted down the corridor. Time was running out. Bodies materialised from everywhere. He was vaguely conscious of someone attempting to reach him with a hairbrush as he passed. He skidded onto the set, already hearing the voice counting down. 8. Just enough time to slip on the gaudy pullover. 7. The woman with the hairbrush made another attempt to tidy his fringe. 6. Someone wiped a couple of droplets from his brow. 5. 4. VTR rolling. Paul composed himself, willing his frantically beating heart to slow. The director was into the silent count, marking off the final seconds with his fingers. A red camera light winked on. Paul flashed his famous boyish grin at the lens. He took a deep breath. "Welcome to Southwest Weekend Weather."
Egged On by Tanya Hirschman. I broke into his flat. It wasn't hard. I nicked his keys when he was talking to that 6-foot blonde goddess, Anna, after the lecture. Just took them out of the front pocket of his bag. I already knew where he lived. The minute I opened the door, I could tell this was his place. It smelled of him. A mix of lemon shower gel and sweaty mud. I wanted to find his bedroom and bury my face in his sock drawer. But I didn't know how long I had. So I just put the box down on his kitchen table and left. It was a good selection. Not cheap. Belgian. All tied up with a red ribbon. No milk tray, none of that rubbish. Then I went and got a copy made of the key at the 5-minute key cutters around the corner and ran back to the lecture hall and dropped his keys in a dark corner by the board. Easy. Next lecture. I stared at him as he talked, trying to see if he had any idea who'd left him the little present. But he looked the same as always. The second time, I decided to show him I could be fun as well as classy, so I left a Terry's chocolate orange, the milk one. I wandered around his flat a bit before I left, looked at his CDs. He was pretty tidy, and he likes Gomez. No surprise there. I was hoping that at the next lecture he'd say something. He'd know somehow. But he didn't catch my eye at all while he was talking to us about covalent bonds. All right. I'd have to be less subtle. I got a triple box of cream eggs and walked up the stairs to his flat. When the key wouldn't go in, I didn't get it. I tried to force it. Didn't understand. Then I realised. Bastard. I wandered back down and sat on the wall outside his house, planning my next move. I unwrapped one of the cream eggs, bit off the top, stuck my finger inside and scooped out a load of the goo. That's how I eat mine. I was just finishing up the shell when I saw him coming round the corner. I had my mouth full of it. I couldn't see him like this. So I dashed down the road and got behind a hedge and watched him like in the films. He wasn't alone. Anna was with him. That bitch. And, as they got nearer, I saw that she had her arm through his. I watched as she opened her mouth and he put something in it. Something dark brown, shaped like an orange segment. I couldn't believe it. She smiled, swallowing elegantly, and I just boiled over. Feeding her my present. I wanted to head out of my hedge and tackle her to the ground, but she'd win. She's got those Swedish jeans. She'd have me in an arm lock in no time. So I did the only thing I could. I threw a cream egg. Threw it right at her. It missed. It fell by her right foot. It didn't even hit the ground well. It was a sad kind of plop. They both turned and looked in my direction, but I had good camouflage. And after a few seconds, they laughed. And he opened the door and they went upstairs. When the coast was clear, I went out and rescued the cream egg. It was a little squashed, but not completely ruined. I started peeling off the wrapper and I looked up at his window. I saw a shadow, and then someone drew the curtains. I bit the top off the egg and started walking slowly home.
The Ways of the Country was written by Cyan Scott Wilson and performed by Peter Pickering. Egg Don was written by Tanya Hirschman and performed by Chloe Gilgallen. Sharp Things was produced by Window with music by Anton Mayoff. It was directed by Matt Hill and Anne Scantlebury for Rethink Daily. And Cyan Scott Wilson's new novel, The Sleepwalker's Introduction to Flight, is available at most good bookshops and through amazon.co.uk.
Rethink Daily.
Today, Rethink recommends new satire site, thedailymash.co.uk, the UK's answer to The Onion. Andy Murray's blog on Wimbledon is, unfortunately, spot on. Tomorrow, more Sharp Things, and we'll have a roundup of the quarterfinal matches here at Wimbledon. Ta-ra!
Available through iTunes, MySpace and direct from rethinkdaily.co.uk.